And welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It is Tuesday, the 27th of September, 2011. I am Bill Buckmaster, your host for the Buckmaster Show. We are on KVOI AM 1030, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station. And a big shout out to our simulcast partners. Folks in Globe and Gila County are listening to the Buckmaster Show on KJAA AM 1240. In Cochise County, folks listen to the Buckmaster Show out of Douglas and station KAPR AM 930. The Buckmaster Show is always on the World Wide Web at buckmastershow.com. We have live streaming of the show at buckmastershow.com, along with an archive of our previous programs. Plus, the Buckmaster Show can be heard anytime at TucsonSentinel.com. The Tucson Sentinel is Southern Arizona's online news service. We are live Monday through Friday from noon to 1. The lineup for this Tuesday edition of the Buckmaster Show includes a leadoff conversation with the commander of the submarine USS Tucson. We'll be talking to Commander James Ted O'Hara, who assumed command on March 25th, 2011, of the USS Tucson, the 770th submarine commissioned in the U.S. Navy. At about 20 minutes past the hour, the Tucson Tuesday Moneymaker Report was certified financial planner Shelley Fishman. Then at the bottom of the hour, Randy Seraglio of the Tucson-based Center for Biological Diversity will be joining us. The Buckmaster Show is an interview-driven talk show. We encourage you to be part of the conversation. You can call us on the Buckmaster Show live line at 790-2040. That's 790-2040. Or toll free from anywhere in North America, 1-866-725-5467. You can also email your questions at buckmastershow.com. Or submit them using the Buckmaster Show Facebook page. If you have a story idea or a particular guest that you would like to hear interviewed, we encourage you to contact us. We're going to begin now with our conversation with the commander of the USS Tucson. James Ted O'Hara is with me in studio. Commander, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Bill. It's great to be in Tucson.
Well, it's good to have you. And I couldn't believe it when I was looking over these fact sheets on the USS Tucson. The Tucson was the 770th submarine. So there have been a lot of submarines, I guess, in the U.S. Navy.
Absolutely. Absolutely, there are. And right now, we currently have 50 attack submarines, 4 SSGNs, and 14 SSBNs in the submarine force.
Tell me about, and I think you don't refer to a submarine as a ship, tell me about the boat.
Well, the Tucson's a Los Angeles-class submarine. It's an improved Los Angeles-class. It means it's one of the later ones of those that were built. It's nuclear-powered, homeported in Pearl Harbor, Hawaii, and run by 140 of the best and brightest sailors in the Navy.
140 on crew, huh?
Yes, sir.
And how is the train? You know, this always fascinated me that it takes a certain individual to join the submarine service. How do you weed out those that perhaps may not be qualified? I know it's a stringent screening process.
Well, we have it's an all-volunteer force. So people volunteer to be in the submarine force, and then there's highly technical schools that they go on to qualify in their different rates, their specialties before they come to the ship. And so we've pretty much, based on the all-volunteer and the technical skills required, we have a very good process of getting the right product to the ship.
So the submarine is nuclear-powered. Are all the submarines now in the fleet nuclear-powered, or is this a different class?
No, all the submarines of the United States Navy are nuclear-powered, and just out of necessity for the distances we have to go and the stay time that we want to have.
But is it classified whether or not it carries nuclear weapons?
Yes, sir.
That is classified.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So, but the training process is basically the same whether you're does it vary depending on what class of submarine you're on?
The training process is the same based on the class, but about half my crew is in my engineering department, and they go through a special pipeline that teaches them the skills necessary to safely run a nuclear reactor. And then those who don't work on the reactor go to a different school for their specialties.
Why did you go into the submarine service? You've got a great background. You're a native of Trenton, New Jersey. You graduated with distinction from the U.S. Naval Academy in 1994. Prior to assuming command of the Tucson, you served on board the USS Atlanta, USS Seawolf, and USS Wyoming. I assume those are all subs.
Yeah, they are. I went in because of the great, basically I got a midshipman cruise as a Naval Academy midshipman and saw the great people and the great things that the submarine force does to help the Navy execute our strategy of protecting our sea lines of communications and providing naval presence across the globe, and felt that's where I could best serve in the Navy.
Commander Ted O'Hara is with us. He is the commander of the USS Tucson. If you have any questions concerning submarines, now would be a great time to call in 790-2040, 790-2040. Are there some Tucsonans on board the boat?
I don't have any Tucsonans on board, but I do have my XO that just left was a graduate of the University of Arizona, and I have an officer from Flagstaff on board the ship.
How do you keep up morale during the tours?
Well, you always you try to make sure that you efficiently use the crew's time wisely, make sure that they understand why they're doing things during our long time away, and then engagements with the city of Tucson and the 770 Club, the thoughts from home, whether it be messages we get from home, the keepsakes we have from Tucson, just to kind of to remind us of why we're doing what we do to serve the country.
Why do the young men go into the submarine service generally?
They go in because of the technical training they get.
They get superior technical training.
Superior technical training, the desire to serve their country and do something special and be part of an elite force and be some part of something greater themselves.
I was going to say that there's kind of a strange fact about the Tucson. The Tucson actually went to sea before she was officially commissioned. That's kind of unusual. I guess she was officially scheduled to be commissioned August the 18th, 1995, but due to Hurricane Felix, the Navy ordered the entire fleet to sea. So that's kind of unusual, isn't it, to a ship going to sea before it's commissioned, or no? Not so unusual.
All ships get trials done before they are commissioned, and then of course, if there's a weather that comes through, the ships are always safer out at sea. So that was basically what they did with the Tucson back in '95.
How long is a tour typically? How long are you out to sea?
Tucson can go and spend out basically until the food runs out. We can go out to sea based on being nuclear powered. And so what Tucson does is we'll go away from our home fort for about 6 months at a time into a theater to provide the local area commander Tucson's abilities for naval presence and strengthening engagements, and if necessary, like the submarines just recently did with Libya, provide project power as required to execute the nation's strategy.
What's typical, though, of how long you're under the water?
We're pretty much, when we're out, we're submerged.
Come up occasionally, I guess, huh?
We can come to periscope depth to get our communications, but most of the time, a submarine, for a submarine to execute its mission, we have to do that stealthily. So we'll be submerged and undetected all the majority of our time out.
In broad terms, tell us what the mission is of the Tucson.
Well, the Tucson's submarines in general are designed to be able to control sea lines of communication. So 70% of the Earth is covered by water, 80% of all the population live near water, and 90% of the trade travels by water. So the submarines control the undersea environment to make sure that the nation's sea lines of communications remain open. We're able to collect intelligence and just provide naval presence for the combatant commanders throughout the globe so that they have options should the need arise.
We have two local employers, I think, that produce systems, correct, used on board your boat, Raytheon and Sargent Controls?
Absolutely. They provide critical things for the ship.
How about this? I know this is a controversial subject, but women on board submarines, is it being considered?
Well, the Navy's just started to bring officers into the larger submarines that we have, the SSGN and SSBN. The first officers will be reporting in December to our strategic missile submarines and guided missile submarines. And so they'll have three officers apiece, and that's just starting in December.
Is the plan then to have women on board in the lower ranks?
Right now, it's starting at the officers, and then that's above my pay grade. The plan to progress forward, but the initial plan is to start with a supply officer and two officers.
And right now, the boat is based in Pearl Harbor.
Tucson is based in Pearl Harbor. Yes,
sir. It was San Diego for a while, wasn't it? Yeah, I think so. San Diego,
and then it was in It originally started in Norfolk, and then Pearl Harbor.
And
yes,
you
sir.
Typically when the boat is in port, it's just a few weeks, or is it a little longer sometimes, depending on maintenance?
It all depends on what we're doing. And we have longer maintenance periods, shorter maintenance periods, in port training periods. It just depends on what it is we need to accomplish at that
time. I'm sure the crew loves it when they have their liberty, right?
They do like being in port, always like being able to see their family, and Hawaii is a beautiful place to be stationed.
Commander, thank you very much, and congratulations, and we thank you for the service that you do with the USS Tucson. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Bill, and just like to thank Tucson for the great support they provide to their namesake city boat.
Yeah, Tucson is very supportive. And by the way, there is a galley on board. The boat is El Charo down under.
Absolutely.
How's the Mexican food?
It's wonderful, and it's wonderful. We've actually been able to have some cooks out here to learn from the fine folks at El Charo.
Very good. 12:16 on the Buckmaster Show. Stay with us. We're going to be talking about your money report, the Moneymaker Report, every Tuesday with Shelley Fishman. That's coming up as we continue on the Buckmaster Show on Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station, AM 1030, KVOI, The Voice. Stay with us.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable area rugs looking like new with Tucson's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration services. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Karimi Oriental Rugs appraises and purchases quality rugs and offers a vast selection of hand-woven rugs from around the world. Be sure to stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at Fort Lowland Dodge or on the web at KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn is still the standard bearer for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. Founded in 1930, the Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. Travel and Leisure magazine names the Arizona Inn one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. And the Arizona Inn is proud of its AAA 4-diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson, 2200 East Elm, and on the web at arizonainn.com.
With 2 out of 3 people in this country overweight, you're not alone in wanting to shed some pounds. Now you can lose 5 to 15% of your body weight in just 6 weeks using Dr. Gahn's Diet of Hope. The physician-supervised program created by renowned Tucson cardiologist Dietmar Gahn and certified nutrition counselor Elizabeth Gahn. To learn more about Dr. Gahn's Diet of Hope, call 696-DIET or log on to dietofhope.org.
The Arizona sun is intense regardless of the season. That's why you need Sierra Shutters and Sun Control, Southern Arizona's custom shutter specialists and proud supplier of O'Hare Shutters, locally manufactured blinds and state-of-the-art window tints. Our power bills are less after installing Sierra's 100% hardwood shutters and window tints in our home. Call Sierra Shutters and Sun Control 292-2212 or check out their extensive website, sierrasuncontrol.com.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More. Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero Mori in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veromoripizza.com. And now open in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
Since 1959, Assistance League of Tucson has helped thousands of disadvantaged men, women, and children in the Tucson area. Donated items, thrift shop proceeds, volunteer hours, and financial gifts help support our philanthropic programs like Operation School Bell. Your generosity continues to change lives in our community. For more information on how you too can make a difference, visit us at assistanceleaguetucson.org. Assistance League of Tucson, volunteers working together.
Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial services professional located at Pyramid Federal Credit Union. The opinions voiced on this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
Well, 21, this is the Buckmaster Show and the Tuesday Money Maker Report, and he is with us now, the man, Shelley Fishman. Shelley, good to see you.
Bill, how are you today?
I'm doing pretty well, and you got a big smile on your face. The market is doing very well today. Are we looking again to Europe for the guidance?
Well, I think we are. I think last week was about as bad as it gets, and this week, 2 days in a row so far, we're recovering from last week's bad. So, you know, when things do that up and down, that roller coaster, there's nothing fundamental at work. People are just reacting to what's happening on that morning, that morning's news. What's going on today and yesterday really is that it appears that the Europeans are going to get their act together, at least for the next week or two, and Greek, you know, the Greek default is not going to happen, at least not today. So I think that served the markets pretty well. The other thing is, you know, there was this threat that the government might shut down by the end of the week.
Yes.
And getting that uncertainty out of the way, I think, is also doing well in the markets.
There's that worry that the other shoe might drop, i.e. the double dip recession. Is that still a factor or not so much anymore?
Well, I think it is a factor, and I think most of the economists that are reporting in are saying, you know, maybe a 20 or 25% chance that we could go into a double dip recession. Keep in mind, recessions are a technical term, and so what they really mean is you have two quarters in a row of negative growth. We haven't seen that. We've seen very slow positive growth. If you're unemployed, if you're looking for a job, if you're underemployed, if your house is below water, you're in a recession. You're in a depression. So it really is in the eyes of the beholder. I think that there would be certainly some political fallout from a technical declaration that we were in a double dip.
It will depend, I suppose, a lot of it on the consumer confidence. The confidence has to increase.
Yes, and it's grim. The consumer confidence is in the 40s, I believe, that the Conference Board just today announced the results of their study, and they're also just showing that consumer confidence is if not at an all-time low, close to an all-time low. And then you see the headline in the Star, I think it was yesterday, maybe it was Sunday, that Tucson consumers are out spending like, you know, there's no tomorrow. So you tell me what's going on.
There have been some indications, though, that Arizona seems to be doing a little bit better.
Yes. Sales tax revenues are up.
Yeah, sales tax revenues are up. The number that jumps out at me, I think it's around 8% maybe month to month. So that's pretty good.
Yeah, it is. And if you know, there's nothing like anecdotal evidence. So you go to the malls and you see that the parking lots are full.
Yeah.
That's a good thing. Whether it reflects real consumption or it reflects people just not having anything else to do on the weekends. I don't know. But the macro statistics are not good. The national and global statistics are, there's plenty of room for concern. And most of it, I think, right now is focused on what appears to be the inability of our political leaders to make the difficult decisions that are needed to stimulate the economies in the short term and get debt under control in the long term.
Shelley Fishman is with us, certified financial planner, and he is with us for every Tuesday for our Money Maker Report on the Buckmaster Show. And speaking of making money, a lot of people have been believing in gold as a vehicle to make money, but the gold and silver markets have taken a little bit of a fall.
Again,
relatively.
Counterintuitively. Normally, when there's uncertainty in the politics, gold would be a good hedge and a haven. And that's how it's been over the past 2 years. The past couple of days, however, gold has taken a hit, and a couple of things have happened. Silver and other platinum, other precious metals as well. What's going on there is, number one, the commodity exchange that gold is traded on, gold futures are traded on, raised the margin for buying gold, which meant that there were margin calls and people had to sell the metal in order to meet those margin calls. So that exerted a negative pressure. The other thing I think that went on to a certain extent is that as the markets began to drop and people were covering short calls and short positions and other things, they were had good gains in precious metals, and that was the first thing they were selling. The other thing is when you sell a precious metal, the money appears in your account the next day, whereas when you sell an equity, it takes 3 days. So it can be volatile that way. It's recovering today, and I think we'll see that gold has not had its complete run-up yet. However, I don't think it's going to outperform the markets. I think that gold right now is probably going to track the markets pretty closely. What has fallen behind is gold producers, miners, smelters, etc. Those stocks have been lagging seriously behind, and you know we've seen some evidence that they might catch up.
Yeah, I was a little surprised. I read that also in the Wall Street Journal about some of the Canadian gold producers that the journal was saying some of those stocks were undervalued at this point, really hadn't, at least they hadn't caught up to the big gold surge.
Well, exactly, yeah. And there are several reasons for that. Number one, they normally lag the price of the metal. But number two, gold is a scarce commodity, and we're actually getting to the point where you can't find it in nature anymore without spending more money to get to it. In other words, the equivalent of secondary and tertiary recovery in the oil business. With gold, now you're finding smaller quantities, and it's more mixed into the surrounding materials. So it's harder to extract.
How about precious metals as part of someone's portfolio? Do you recommend that?
I do. I recommend it as a hedge, not as an investment, and therefore maybe 2-3%, 3-4% in a portfolio. Gold is not an investment. Gold is a speculative play. So if you're doing gold and other precious metals to stabilize a portfolio, that makes some sense. If you're a gambler, then, you know, you can have 40 or 50. I mean, I heard a presentation in Denver last year at the FPA meeting where somebody had taken 100% of the portfolio and put it in gold. And as of last year at this time and this year a couple of weeks ago, the man looked like a genius.
Yeah, he's done real well.
Right.
In the remaining minute, what do you recommend now as financial planning? People can make money in this market.
Yes, people can make money right now. I believe the market is on sale. I mean, we've had some depressed results, so yesterday and today certainly wouldn't indicate that. I'm sticking with my forecast that we're going to have, you know, somewhere about a 1,000-point run-up between now and the end of the year. That would indicate that there's a 7 or 8% topside in U.S. equities. I think longer term, of course, emerging markets are there. And if you're very conservative, then you go into things with guarantees, and you can make money in guarantees.
Shelley Fishman, where do folks get a hold of you?
795-7950 or my website at shelleyfishman.com.
Shelley Fishman with our Money Maker Report every Tuesday right here on the Buckmaster Show. Thank you so much, Shelley.
Have a great week.
You too.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial, Pyramid Federal Credit Union, or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner located at Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Securities and insurance products offered through LPL Financial and its affiliates. Member FINRA. Pyramid Federal Credit Union is not a registered broker-dealer, nor is it affiliated with LP Financial.
SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Encouraging signs from Europe are being welcomed on Wall Street, where stocks have surged for a second day. European markets have closed sharply higher on signs that European leaders are moving closer to a plan to contain the European debt crisis. U.S. space officials have finally figured out where a dead NASA satellite fell back to Earth over the weekend. NASA now says the satellite debris was scattered over the South Pacific, about as far away from large land areas as you can get. OnStar is changing some controversial policies, a change in response to privacy concerns. Updating the Wall Street numbers, the Dow is up about 198 points at 11,242, the NASDAQ ahead 34, the S&P 16 points higher. More details at srnnews.com.
Sierra Shutters and Sun Control is the leader in quality hardwood O'Hare brand shutters in Southern Arizona. 100% customer recommended and satisfied. Sierra Shutters and Sun Control also has the highest quality blinds, shades, and state-of-the-art window tints that really make a difference in keeping your home cooler. Check out their extensive website at sierrasuncontrol.com or give them a call at 292-2212 for a free in-home estimate.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of healthcare in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including five major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencium and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
It's 12:33. This is the Buckmaster Show, and I am Bill Buckmaster on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. We are proud of the fact that this is Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station. We really go from one end of Southern Arizona to the other, all the way up to Phoenix, down into Mexico, to Yuma, and over to New Mexico, thanks to our simulcast partners also picking up the Buckmaster Show in Douglas and up in Gila County, up in Globe. Well, a federal judge earlier this month approved a pair of sweeping sweeping settlements that require the government to consider endangered protections for more than 800 animal and plant species. This follows a landmark legal agreement that was finalized earlier this year between the Tucson-based Center for Biological Diversity and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, requiring the agency to make initial or final decisions on whether to add hundreds of imperiled plants and animals to the endangered species list by 2018. Joining us now on the Buckmaster Show from the Center for Biological Diversity is Randy Seraglio. Randy, good to see you.
Good to see you, Bill.
We had kind of touched on this the last time you were with us several months ago, but this is pretty much finalizing this. This looks like protection for nearly 1,000 animals and plant species.
Yeah, the judge has given his approval for the settlement to go forward, and in fact, we're already seeing some movement on quite a few of these species. Just was announced recently that about 250 species, many of which are aquatic in the southeastern United States that are imperiled, will be the Fish and Wildlife Service will be taking a hard look at listing those species under the Endangered Species Act. So it's a kind of a logjam breaking on something that's been stagnant for many years now. We've been fighting for about 750 of those species for some as long as 15 or 20 years. And to see this move forward, it's just a major victory for the species themselves as well as for the people who fight to protect them.
It's really, the list is really incredible. It's a wide-ranging list from the northern wolverine to the Pacific walrus. There's dozens of snails, there's butterflies, there's plants. I mean, it's almost like a who's who, Randy, of diversity.
It really is. And, it's great to see so many different animals and plants getting the chance to live and thrive. But it's also really pretty alarming when you think about how the extinction crisis that faces us right now cuts across all kinds of species, reptiles, amphibians, insects, plants, mammals. It doesn't matter. It's affecting species across the board, and it really is a crisis.
There are some species that are endangered here in the Southwest as well.
Yes, as a matter of fact, and some of those are on the list. The Cactus fruginus pygmy owl, of course, is the one that a lot of people recognize. It's been kind of a hot button for many years here in southern Arizona, and that animal will get a decision before too long.
And there were some. How about the ones that are you have listed that are in the area of the Rosemont Mine?
Yes, there's quite a few species out there in the Rosemont area that are affected. Some of which are listed already, and some of which are not. We've petitioned for a couple of snails, the Rosemont talus snail, the Sonoran talus snail, and there's several plants in that area too, including the beautiful Coleman's coral root, which is an orchid. And it's kind of hard to imagine an orchid growing in a high desert, semi-arid landscape, but I mean that's the place we live in southern Arizona. It really is amazing biodiversity here, and a lot of it is under threat.
Let's talk a little bit about Rosemont. That usually gets talk about a hot button issue. It remains a very hot button issue. Randy Seraglio is with us from the Center for Biological Diversity, 790-2040, 790-2040. As you know, Randy, Rosemont is suing Pima County. They want a speedier permit decision. Is the feeling in the environmental community not so fast? This is not a done deal yet?
Oh, by no means is it a done deal. You know, when you have a huge, complex proposal like the one in front of us now with the Rosemont copper mine, it takes many years for that to play out. I mean, there's a lot of different things that need to be analyzed and analyzed very carefully to protect the public health and to protect the environment of our surrounding Sky Islands. That area of the northern Santa Rita Mountains is a major wildlife corridor. It's the headwaters for Davidson Canyon flowing into Cienega Creek into Tucson's water supply. The air quality impacts are going to affect our national parks in this area. They're going to affect, public health in the city of Tucson. There's traffic issues, there's infrastructure issues, there's a whole range of complexity to this, and careful analysis is the only way to go, because, you know, once that thing is in, there's no going back.
Rosemont Copper CEO Rod Pace has said that mining is vital for Southern Arizona's economy with the 21st century technologies. Mr. Pace says Rosemont is meeting a high standard for environmental protection. These continued stall tactics by Pima County will not stop Rosemont. Instead, they only delay the start of the new jobs and a major economic engine for our local economies. Your reaction to that, Randy?
First of all, I would say that it's amazing to me that this junior mining company from Canada can look at this public process that's in place to protect public health and call it a stalling maneuver. I mean, that's just, I can't even believe someone would try to get away with saying that. Secondly, this company has never met any environmental standards in its entire history because it's never operated an open-pit copper mine in its history. This is a junior mining company that comes in, does a lot of PR work, tries to push the thing through, get the permits, and then they sell it to someone else. And someone else decides whether or not they're going to meet environmental standards.
Randy Seraglio is with us from the Center for Environmental Diversity. Perhaps you do not agree with what Randy is saying. Now would be your time to voice your opinion. Perhaps you're in favor of the Rosemont Mine. 790-2040, 790-2040. Give us a call on the Buckmaster Show live line and take issue with Randy Seraglio for the Center for Biological Diversity. Or if you agree with what he's saying, let's hear from you as well. So, you know, getting back to the agencies that the Forest Service is expecting, is that your understanding they're going to release their formal draft environmental impact statement in October, Randy?
That is the official timeline at the moment. It has been delayed many times for many reasons. And, you know, actually, it's kind of ironic that Rosemont Copper is saying that the Pima County is stalling, because we filed a Freedom of Information Act request that showed us all kinds of documentation that Rosemont Copper itself has held up this process numerous times by not providing the information required or requested, by not paying their contractor on time, you know, all kinds of ways that they've held up this process. And for them to now be suing Pima County for stalling on a public health issue is really pretty ironic to me.
This is the Buckmaster Show. It's coming up on 12:42. Randy, slip on your headset. We have Joe, who is calling on the Buckmaster Show live line. Joe, go ahead.
Hi there, Randy and Bill. Thanks for taking my call. I don't understand why animals' needs and protection come before human progress. Not to say that certain animals might not need certain protection, but why do we have to put them at the forefront while many people are unemployed and we have an opportunity to increase the tax base and jobs in the community?
Thank you, Joe. I think, Randy, that is kind of a fundamental question a lot of people ask.
Yeah, it's a good question. We get that a lot. And of course, my answer starts from the point that it's kind of a false dichotomy. There's no reason to trade off environmental protections for economic growth. And in fact, there's all kinds of ways that our economy can grow without the devastating environmental impacts that this open-pit copper mine would have. You know, we have a steadily diversifying economy in southern Arizona that relies on high tech, it relies on tourism, and the beautiful wide open spaces that we have surrounding our community. I mean, basically, our sky island mountain ranges and national parks and national monuments and wildlife refuges are the golden goose. And when we let a company like Rosemont Copper come in and destroy that area for short-term economic gain, we're actually costing ourselves money in the long run. Doesn't make any sense.
What about these claims that Rosemont will boost tourism? One of their latest ads is saying that people will come to look at the pit, that they go to other places. I think they mentioned Bisbee and some other places, that these are like tourist attractions. What do you say to that?
Well, you know, for every person who comes to look at that pit, you're going to get 100 people driving down scenic Highway 83, looking at the beautiful scenic vistas, hiking, riding horses, you know, stargazing, all the many things people do in that area. and then they're going to travel on down to Sonoyta and Patagonia, and they're going to patronize bed and breakfasts there and restaurants there. And the economy of those towns is based on that kind of activity, which is why they are dead set against this idea. They don't want this copper mine. They're the ones who you might think would stand to benefit the most, the nearby communities, you know. They don't want those jobs. They have a diverse economy that's already based on ranching and tourism, and they like it the way it is.
790-2040, 790-2040. If you disagree with something that you've heard Randy Seraglio from the Center for Biological Diversity, if you disagree with him, if you agree with him, call us right now, 790-2040. We're going to take a break right here, and we will be back with Randy right after this. Stay with us.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Want to lose weight? You're not alone. 2 out of 3 people in this country are now overweight. Using Dr. Gahn's Diet of Hope, created by renowned cardiologist Dietmar Gahn, you could lose 5 to 15% of your body weight in just 6 weeks. The program teaches proper nutrition and uses no drugs or artificial foods. Most insurance is accepted. To learn more, visit dietofhope.org or call 696-DIET.
Biro Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh, homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Biro Amore. Casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Biro Amore in Tucson on North Swan at Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at viroamorepizza.com. And now in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Everyone's piling on big banks nowadays, with good reason. But still, you're skeptical about moving your money. We get it, but let's think about that. If you're worried about convenience, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has local branches and thousands of fee-free ATMs nationwide. If you're worried about service, at Pyramid, you're a member. At big banks, you're a number. There's a difference. And if you're worried about savings, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has better rates and fewer fees than big banks. Like our great low 4.5% APR on new, used, or refinanced vehicle loans with terms up to 60 months. Plus, save another 0.25% with payment options. So Pyramid wins on convenience, service, and savings. If you're still skeptical about moving your money, try us out. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life. Visit pyramidfcu.com to learn how. 4.5% APR on vehicle loans for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. Membership eligibility required. NCUA insured.
If you're having foot or lower back pain, you're not alone. My foot doctor recommended Custom Foot Orthotics created by Bob Novak. Bob is a certified pet orthist and best in Southern Arizona at creating just the right foot support at a price you can afford. Please give Bob Novak, the owner of Arizona Limb and Brace, a call at 795-2553 or visit Bob at Rosemont and 5th. I did, and my feet thank me every day.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard.
Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
It's 12:49 on the Buckmaster Show. We're talking about Rosemont and some of the environmental impacts. We're talking with the Center for Biological Diversity. Randy Seraglio is with us, 790-2040. Randy has been talking about some of the environmental impacts. You've got some big concerns, don't you, about the air quality issue?
Yeah, there's a reason Pima County's taking its time with the air quality permit. It's because the Forest Service preliminary documents show that this mine could very well put Pima County over the edge into non-attainment on some of these air quality, these air pollutants. And of course, you know, when you talk about economic impacts, there's a huge economic impact to public health. I mean, when you get dirtier air, you get people getting sick from it. And that has an economic impact. It reduces productivity, it increases health care costs, you know, it costs everyone in the community. And, you know, mining companies like Rosemont Copper don't ever factor that into their equation when they're trying to tell you how much money you're going to make off their mine.
And there was a piece in the Arizona Daily Star, I think it was the front page this morning, about diesel exhaust and infant wheezing, just the dust.
Yeah, well,
causing problems.
You know, the dust would be huge with something like this, but it also frees up all kinds of other elements that belong in the ground and should never see the light of day and be released into the air. So there's lots of, you know, heavy metals and other things that get freed up when you do a massive open pit copper mine like this. You're also going to have trucks going up and down scenic Highway 83 about every 10 or 15 minutes, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, all year long. So there's going to be a huge diesel impact there. You know, it's just the number of impacts from this thing are staggering.
400 jobs, that's what's being talked about from Rosemont immediately. I mean, that's big time when you're talking about an economy that's very depressed here.
Well, you know, 400 jobs taken, you know, out of context in isolation like that is, you know, very significant. But again, you have to compare it to what we have. I mean, outdoor recreation and tourism, it creates tens of thousands of jobs here in southern Arizona. It's multi-billion dollar industry. And most of those jobs are clean jobs. You know, they're not going to cause the air quality impacts, water quality impacts, and the environmental devastation of this open pit copper mine. Those are sustainable jobs. You know, no one's going to come around and shut down the mountain in 20 years. But, you know, that's the plan, is to shut down the mine in 20 years and those 400 jobs disappear. And lastly, I would say that the way the mining industry works, there is a limited amount of expertise, and a lot of those jobs are not going to go to folks locally in our community. They're going to go to people who come in from out of state.
Perhaps you're hearing Randy Seraglio, perhaps you're disagreeing, you're shaking your head. How can he say that? Well, let us hear from you. 790-2040, 790-2040 on the Buckmaster Show live line. If you're a big supporter of Rosemont, now would be the time to give us a call. What about remediation, fixing up the land after they are through?
Reclamation is something that a lot of people have a very unrealistic idea of. You know, virtually no mine is ever reclaimed in a way that even remotely approximates the wildlife habitat and the ecological value that it had before it was blasted into the ground. And here in Arizona in particular, we have very weak reclamation laws. And again, I will guarantee you that Rosemont Copper will not be around to do the reclamation on this project because they've never done it before, so there's no reason to think they're going to do it now.
And you're saying that Rosemont, even though they're asking for some kind of a speedy decision from Pima County, you're saying they actually have held up some reports themselves?
Oh, yeah. We saw in our Freedom of Information Act request, we saw documentation indicating that the Forest Service was just downright exasperated with Rosemont Copper at various stages of the process, pulling their hair out, trying to get the required information and documents that they needed to move forward with the environmental impact statement. And really, you know, it's some of the language is kind of... It would be almost humorous if it wasn't such a controversial issue, you know. I mean, these folks are really frustrated with Rosemont at various stages of the process. So I don't think it's fair for Rosemont or our senators here in Arizona to you know, pile onto the Forest Service. They have a very difficult job here in front of them, analyzing an extremely complex proposal. And, you know, I, for one, as a citizen who lives here and breathes the air and drinks the water and pays taxes, I'd rather see them take their time and get it right than just hurry up so some company can get rich.
It's 12:54 on the Buckmaster Show. Randy Seraglio is with us for the Center for Biological Diversity. The border wall, I know that environmental laws, you're contending certainly, have taken a back seat to that.
Yeah, we've seen with border security activities, we see kind of another false dichotomy where some politicians want to pretend that environmental laws are in the way and therefore they want to move forward with legislation to waive those laws. And what we've seen is that, you know, when Homeland Security and the Border Patrol work together with land managers on the ground, it enhances both border security efforts and environmental protection of the resource that, they're trying to protect. You know, we have National Wildlife Refuges and Oregon Pipe National Monument and other areas here in southern Arizona along the border that are greatly impacted by illegal traffic through the borderlands, and by the enforcement activity of 20,000 Border Patrol agents driving willy-nilly all over the desert chasing people. And they don't just go right along the border. They're driving 15 and 20 miles north of the border and causing huge impacts to these resources. You know, there's a memorandum of understanding between Homeland Security and the Department of Interior that governs these things, and sometimes it works really well, and in some areas it doesn't work so well because Homeland Security doesn't pay attention to it.
In comparison to other states, are we much more lax in our environmental protection laws, or are most of that covered under the federal government?
Well, we're talking about federal laws for the most part, you know, with regard to the border issues. You know, the laws that have been waived are Clean Water Act, Clean Air Act, Safe Drinking Water, you know, Endangered Species Act, a lot of laws that are in place to protect people and wildlife living in these areas. You know, and it's kind of ironic that you're saying that you're trying to protect U.S. citizens and trying to protect U.S. lands, and then you're actually waiving the laws that do that already. These are hugely successful laws, and the people who live in the borderlands deserve to be protected by these laws, just like everyone else in the United States, just like everyone else in this country. You know, there's almost a dynamic of throwing the baby out with the bathwater there.
We had a question concerning Rosemont. The listener did not want to go on the air, but is concerned about the water supply.
Water supply is a huge issue because Rosemont Copper is planning to pump water out of the ground in the Suarita Green Valley area, an area that already is suffering from huge impacts to its water supply, a lot of subsidence in that area, declining water tables. And they're going to pump that water out of the ground and pump it up over the hill onto the other side of the ridge for their mine because there's not enough water out there at the mine site to do this mine. It's one of the many logistical challenges that have prevented other companies in the past from mining this parcel. You know, there's loophole in the state water law that allows mining companies special privileges to pump water out of an active management area like that. But the impacts to people in Green Valley and Suarita are going to be huge through that.
Potential water pollution?
The water pollution issue is another really scary part of this proposal. Rosemont Copper is proposing to use new technology with their tailings that is really never been tested in this region and this climate. And the potential for disaster there is huge. I mean, it's the headwaters of Davidson Canyon, very important riparian area and a you know, state acknowledged water resource of really high value. And of course, the headwaters for Tucson's groundwater supply, which a lot of which, you know, a lot of our water still comes out of the ground. So, you know, the impacts there are kind of scary.
As we wrap this up, Rosemont had said they'd like to be operating by 2012. I would assume you would say that's far too optimistic.
Yeah, I would use the word fantasy myself. You know, in other similar proposals of this nature, these environmental impact statements can take as long as 5 or 10 years. And there's a reason for that, because the idea is you got to protect public health first. You got to protect the environment first. There's doesn't make any sense to trade off water quality, air quality, and public health for short-term profit for a foreign company.
Okay, Randy Seraglio from the Center for Biological Diversity, thank you very much for spending some time with us.
Thanks for having me, Bill. I appreciate it.
Okay, we're coming up now on 1259 on the Buckmaster Show. The Buckmaster Show is brought to you in part by Flowers, Rieger, and Associates Certified Public Accountants, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com. Flowers and Rieger, the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. That's going to do it today for the Tuesday edition of Buckmaster. We will see you tomorrow, live noon to 1 right here on KVOI. Have a great afternoon.
KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. 930 KAPR Douglas, and 1240 KJAA Globe, the Voice Radio Network.